It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the New Testament, we've been going through the book of 1 Peter, and we're going to finish chapter 1 right now as we look at chapter 1 of 1 Peter, in verse 25. It says this, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Well, he's saying here that the word of the Lord will last forever. It's not going to fade away, and the gospel that is preached to you is the everlasting word of God. It never changes. It can't be added to, and it can't be taken away. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the last chapter, it gives a warning. If you want to take away or add to this book, to the words, to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, it says that you're cursed with a curse. Well, the Bible teaches us that we need to reverence God. We need to live as Christians. And what I mean there is this, you can't live as a Christian unless you are a Christian. You can't have a Christian testimony unless you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I pray you've done that. And if you are saved, you need to be acting like it, living for the Lord. Now, we've looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, and now I'd like to force to go into chapter 2. And let me remind you that the book of 1 Peter was written around A.D. 67 or 68. And it was apparently during or just previous to some major persecution that was taking place. Peter reminds the people to have joy during tribulation because that brings honor and glory to the Lord. Well, that doesn't mean that he's happy about us having problems or going through tribulation. It simply means that when we suffer for the Lord, we should look up and keep the attitude that God is being glorified, that what we're doing is right and pleasing in His sight. We've also seen in the introduction to the book of 1 Peter that it was written to Christians, both Jews and Gentiles. And of course, we saw that the author of 1 Peter is, of course, the Apostle Peter. And I titled the first two chapters, Elected Foreigners. And the reason I did that is because in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia." These were the five Roman provinces, and they're now modern-day Turkey. These were strangers. These were pilgrims who were scattered about. These were Christians. And you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." See, we are also foreigners and strangers. We are elected foreigners, just as these people were back in the book of 1 Peter that Peter is writing about here. We are ambassadors. An ambassador is one who actually represents someone, the hierarchy of a foreign country. And we know the hierarchy, it's hard for me to say that word, hierarchy. If I could use that term, whom we represent is none other than God Himself. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we're here to represent Him. So actually, we could say that the book of 1 Peter is written to us. We're foreigners, and this world is not our home. I'm sure you've heard that old hymn, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." And that's the way it is with us who are saved people. We are ambassadors for Christ, and this world is not our home. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And I would title the first three verses here, "A Call to Spiritual Growth." In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." This is to grow spiritually. And to grow spiritually, we must lay aside all malice. We must lay aside deceit. We don't want to be deceitful. We don't want to try to fool people. In other words, hypocrisy, trying to be something that we're not. presenting a false image of who we really are. And he goes on to say, lay aside the envy. Don't be envious of other people. We're to try to emulate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can do that because we are saved. And all evil speakings, he says here, we shouldn't say things that are hurtful and mean and critical to the people of this world. We are here to serve our Lord. And the Bible says that he came to seek and to save those who are lost. And this, as his ambassadors, we are to do the same thing. We need to watch our tongues. Once again, we go back and we read the book of James. It talks about the tongue as evil. The natural tongue, uncontrolled, is something that only through the Lord, through his guidance and through his Spirit, can that tongue be controlled. And we need to watch what we say. Well, then we see in verse 2 of 1 Peter, it says, chapter 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. There are certain reasons that we need to do certain things, and we need to look to the Word of God so we can grow. To grow spiritually, we should long for the Word, as it says in verse 2 there. Newborn babes who desire milk. Now, of course, that's how a baby is fed. Of course, we know this, that a baby is brought into this world and that baby desires milk, the milk of nourishment. Peter here is likening that to the Word of God for the Christian. As we got saved, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, the Bible. That's the reason I say it's so important for the people of God to stay in the Scriptures, in the book, to study what he has for us who know him as Savior. I use the King James Bible. Now, you hear me reading a verse in, or a chapter or any section of the Scriptures that doesn't match up with what you're reading, you're reading the wrong book. You need to be in the King James Bible, the Bible for God's people today. It is the inspired Word of God. It's God-breathed. Well, verse 3 goes on to say of 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 1, the second chapter, it says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now go back to verse 2. And let's read those two verses together. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, this is motivation. Motivation to desire the word. And this comes from verse 3, the motivation. If we have already experienced the Lord's divine mercy, if we've been saved, then we know that he is gracious. We know that we need to be in the Word, and by being in the Word, we gain more knowledge of knowing about His graciousness. The Bible says the more we read, the more we study, the more we get close to the Lord, the more we become like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, we're not going to be completely like Him until we see Him. The Bible says it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Well, looking on now in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, we go to verse 4, and it says, and you know, notice as we move there, I would say from verse 4 through verse 10, our privilege in Christ is seen in these verses. Verse 4 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Well, this is speaking of Christ, of course, and this is the description of Jesus, a living stone. This is seen all through the Old Testament. Remember, when the Israelites were marching through the wilderness, how that they needed water, and that water came from that rock, the stone, and that was a typification of Jesus Christ. He gives the living water that helps us not only to be saved, but to keep us growing in him and learning more about him. Well, notice here, rejected by men, it says, disallowed indeed of men. It talks about rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You know, one thing that really bothers me is when someone says something about my Savior, Jesus Christ, when someone takes his name in vain. Why? Because, first of all, he loved me. He gave his life for me. He died for me. And in the sight of God, he's precious because he is the only begotten Son. Well, it offends me when somebody takes his name in vain. Well, verse 5 says this, "Ye also, as lively stones," like Christ, in other words, "ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Well, there are two metaphors here used to describe Christians in this verse. Living stones. This is being built up as a spiritual house. It's building upon the foundation of the Lord. Remember, Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He wasn't speaking of Peter. He was speaking of himself. And as we, the people of God, grow, we are the church of the Lord. Now, Peter was not the stone, the rock that he was speaking of building his church on. It was him. And I want to make that clear. It was Jesus Christ. He's the rock. He's the stone. And we are the church of God. We are the church, the living stones. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm speaking of the Christian people, people who name Jesus Christ as Savior, living stones. The Bible is telling us here in verse 5, built up as a spiritual house, also a holy priesthood. And this is offering up spiritual sacrifices to God through Christ. Remember, just as there is nothing we can do to be saved on our own works, doing things for others, turning over a new leaf, being good, and so forth, trying to do this on our own, we can't go to heaven that way. And we really can't serve the Lord as Christians unless we are willing to serve Him in the way that Christ wants us to serve. We serve through Christ. There's no other way to serve God. We must go through the Lord. When verse 6, the first part of that verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture." Well, keep in mind, all these verses that we've read here now, especially these last few verses, it says, "With these things in mind, wherefore? Because of this. Also it is contained in the Scripture." This is why we do this. Prophecy, foretelling the laying of a chief cornerstone, what's being said here, is what it's speaking of. And as we look back, we understand that the Scriptures, they tell us about the living stone. They tell us how we're to live. They tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell us about the foundation. Remember, we studied in chapter 1 about the Old Testament prophets, how they looked into the things of God, how they prophesied of the coming Messiah. They didn't understand everything, but they knew that Jesus Christ was coming. They knew that the blood had to be shed. And if you go back and read Isaiah 28 and verse 16, you'll read about the chief cornerstone and you'll read about the Lord. All through the Old Testament, we have a picture of the Lord coming into the world, living, giving His life for us, being killed, buried, and resurrected. Well, in verse 6, it goes on to say, and let me read that. It says, "Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Well, we'll stop there at this time, and we'll pick up with verse 7 the next time we meet together. May the Lord bless you. I pray that you're saved on your way to heaven, and I pray that you as a Christian, those of you who have trusted Christ, you are living for Him, and you're doing the will of God today. May the Lord bless you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.